Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well this morning. Hey, it is good to be here with you. It's good to be here with you today. It's colder here than it is in Conway. We're staying in Conway, and we left yesterday, and when we left, it was like 78, I think, degrees. So it was, to me, it was hot. And we got here last night, and it was colder. And I said, well, okay, that's, here we go. And this morning was much colder. So anyways, I would rather be... I'd rather be cold than I would hot anyway. So, but it is good to be here with you. And my name is Brian Rosner, and I would like to share with you this morning a little bit of some updates on what's happening in Romania. And I think they're going to get the PowerPoint. There it is. So, first slide that you're seeing here is a slide of our Gypsy ministry. This is just past Christmas. We was able to meet with our two Gypsy communities in the village that we live in and do some things with them. I just wanted to throw that picture up there first and foremost to ask that you continue to pray for this ministry. It's something that is dear to our hearts. It's the first ministry we started in Romania, and we're continuing with it, and God is blessing there in that area. If you go to the next slide, I want to talk about a little bit of who we are. I was introduced just a few minutes ago, but my name is Brian, my wife Pam, and so our background is in, well, my background was in law enforcement before I became a missionary. So I had 14 years as a police officer in Morrilton, and I loved doing that. I was always bivocational, which meant that I had a second job, and so I was a police officer and then a student pastor. So for the whole amount of time, 14 years, I served students. And pastored students as well as ministered to those on the street as a police officer. And I loved both jobs. Both jobs was something that I feel that God has called me to, and something that I had fond memories of. My wife, her background is in banking, so she had 16 years as working in at Arvest Bank, and we was living the American dream. I mean, everything was good. You know, we had all the things that you would typically have as an American. You know, we had two cars. We had 1.5 dogs, kids. We had, you know, the four-wheeler, you know, all the fun things. And we thought we was, you know, everything was great. And so God had other plans. We do have three kids, Melody, Lindsay, and Landon. Melody is our biological daughter. When she was 7 years old, we adopted twins, Lindsay and Landon, who was also 7 years old. So we literally went from a family of three to a family of five, and they're really triplets designed by God because they're all in the same grade. All three of our kids are in the second year of college at CBC, and so we're proud of them. But it's been a fun journey to see them grow. So that's who we are. If you go to the next slide. I just want to update, give you a recap on what we're doing. Now, some of you have never met me before. You've never seen me before, so let me just kind of give you a recap on how we got started in Romania. So I was a student pastor in Russellville, Arkansas, Grace Baptist Church. The pastor at that time was Roger Pierce. Some of you might know him. And so while we was there, this is actually where we met the twins, where we had the opportunity to adopt them from. But during a SOAR conference, one of my students went to the Midnight Missions meeting. And when they went to that meeting, they signed up to go on a mission trip. Now, I would like to say that I was there rooting her on, but I did not know I had anyone in my youth group interested in a mission trip. So I was in my hotel room at midnight that night. I wasn't even at the meeting until we got back to Russellville and her mom found me. And she said, hey, do you know my daughter signed up to go on a mission trip? And I told her no. And she said she wasn't going to let her go. And I asked her why, and she said, because it's dangerous, and she gave me all the reasons, you know, a good mom would give, I would think, why her daughter should not go on a mission trip. And so I had told her, I said, well, what if I went with her? I said, I feel like if God was leading her on a mission trip, just a good opportunity for her, and I don't mind going with her, and her mom liked that idea. So I contacted the missions office, and I told them the situation, and I asked the missions office if I could join this student on a mission trip, on an international mission trip. And they said, yes, we would love for you to join, but could you lead a team? And I said, well, I've never led a mission team outside of the country before, but I'm not opposed to it. I would love to, yes. And I said, they said, okay, well, we're going to send you guys to Romania. And I said, that sounds fantastic. I hung up the phone, and I had to look up the map. Where is Romania? I wasn't really sure. I thought it was somewhere in Europe, but I wasn't exactly sure the location. So for some of you, it's in Eastern Europe, in case you didn't know. And to our north is Ukraine, to our west is Hungary, to our south is Serbia. And so we're kind of nestled right there. And it's a small country. Romania is a small country, about three times smaller than Texas. So not very big. And so we went to Romania in 2015. The next year, the missions office asked me to lead a second team to Romania, and we did. But this time, I had my wife to come with me as my co-leader because I felt like the first year, I felt like God tugging on my heart. But I wasn't sure if it was just my love for the people or if it was actually God calling, calling us there. So I kind of wanted my wife to go with me to see if God was call her. And I make a joke about this, and I was kind of serious, but if I would have came home and told Pam that I felt like God was moving us to Romania, she might have cut me in my sleep one night. And so I wanted to make sure it was the Holy Spirit and not just some, big deal, idea that I had. So the missions office allowed Pam to come as my co-leader. That was perfect for me because her background in banking, she could keep up with the receipts and the money, and I could just have fun sharing the gospel. And so that's what we did. And would you believe that God started calling my wife, put it on her heart, Romania, and she started to have that feelings as well about possibly moving there. In 2017, we led our third trip to Romania, but this time we took our three kids with us, and so they could experience Romania. 2018 was the year that we went on deputation. We sold everything that we had. We sold our cars. We sold all my fun equipment, my toys, our furniture, and we moved halfway around the world to Romania. And I used to I used to kind of look at missionaries that did the things like that, sold everything they had and moved across the country, and I thought it was a little strange. I mean, that's kind of radical to do. But when God puts it in your heart and he calls you, you got to go. And so that's what we did. And so we moved to Romania in 2018. And the first picture there that says Casa Lumini, that was our first ministry. I'll tell you that that is a gypsy ministry. And we did not anticipate planting a gypsy church. We was doing a Romanian church was our goal. But God had other plans. Now, one thing that we learned in missions class was to write your vision with a pencil. Because when God shows up and things changes, then you need to be able to adapt and to move where God is moving you to. And so when God opened the doors into the gypsy community there in that village of Szentendre that we lived in, which on the border of Hungary, we started doing that. And it was interesting. We just literally started to meet out in the open. We didn't have a building. We didn't have anything to meet at, no place to meet at. Their houses are very, very small, usually one room, one bed. They didn't have indoor bathroom. They didn't have a kitchen. They didn't have any room to meet in a home where we could have church service. So we just met right out in the open of their little village, just in the middle of the street. And I remember the first time sharing the gospel there, it was chaotic. It was very loud, and there was a lot happening. I heard some screaming to my right, and I look over and I saw a gypsy mom yelling at another lady. They was getting into a verbal altercation. I had a look down. There was chickens running around my feet, some dogs chasing the chickens. At one time, there was a horse and buggy got loose from somewhere in the village and ran through the crowd. We had to jump out of the way of a runaway horse and buggy. That was interesting. And then a little kid was riding his bicycle through the crowd while I was preaching, and his grandma backhanded him right off the bicycle. And I knew right then that I was not in America anymore, that this was different. But the people was a hard people. They had a big wall around their hearts. It was a hard people to get to know. But, once we broke that wall down, we had friends for life. And so we continued to do ministry there, continued to love on the people there. And winter was approaching. And in Romania, we have long winters. The winters are very long and very cold and very snowy in Romania. Matter of fact, it gets dark about 4:30 in the afternoon and stays dark until around 8 a.m. the next morning. So you have a lot of darkness, a lot of cold, a lot of fog there in Romania. And so we needed a place where we could meet to kind of stay warm for the most part. But our budget was small. And so we decided, you know, how are we going to do something? We definitely couldn't build a big building or anything. And we didn't want to. We didn't want to go in there and build a building. We wanted to start off in homes, which was not an option. So we decided to build a small building. You would call it a shed, to be able to get inside to keep the weather off of us. So it was about a 15 by 15 metal shed that we built there, and we was able to meet in. Our first service there, we had over 60 gypsies packed in that little building. We didn't have a roof on it, so you could see the rafters, and we literally had kids swinging from the rafters during the service. It was very interesting, but we loved what we did, and we continued there in that gypsy ministry for over 2 years. And my translator, his name is Marius Perum. I'll show you a picture later of him. Him and his wife, they continued the work as we transitioned at that time to do a second church plant. Because we moved to Romania to plant churches, not just one church. We wanted to plant several churches. So when we got that to the point where we could exit out, we moved to Brasov. And that you see there, Brasov, in Romania. And Brasov was in the heart of Transylvania. It was 10 minutes from Dracula's castle, from old Vlad and Pillar. And it was an area of superstition. It was an area even harder people, a harder people group. Even though there was Romanians that we worked with, it was kind of like you can imagine in the South how people is compared to the North. Not that people in the North are mean, but they're just a different. It's just a little different there. And so they was a little bit harder to get to know, a little bit harder to break down the wall. But once we did, just like the gypsies, we had friends for life. And so we started this church plant with Christian Martinez and his wife, Vanessa. Christian is from Mexico, and his wife is Romanian, and she's from Brasov. So we started a return church. And at the time that we was doing this church plant, our second church plant there in Romania, the war happened. That's when Russia invaded Ukraine. And I'll tell you that it was pretty scary during that time. Russia was pretty much covering the whole area of Ukraine, and they started to attack a power plant on the border of Ukraine and Romania. Keep in mind, we was a little over 2 hours away from Ukraine, 2 hours from the fighting, 2 hours from an area that could explode and have some nuclear situation happening. And I was a little worried for my kids and my family. Now, keep in mind, my background was in law enforcement, so I spent a lot of calls going into the heart of danger. I would drive my police car into areas where I did not know if I would come out of. It was a dangerous situation. But I want to tell you this morning that not one time during those dangerous calls as a police officer was my family in the back seat of my police car. So now we're in a country where my family are with me, and it's a serious situation. And Russia was threatening nuclear attacks, and that was not a good situation for us. We was very stressed during that time, and we had to make a go bag, kind of a bug-out bag, in case the situations got worse, we could get down south as quick as we could. We had to have cash on hand. We had to have food, water. We had to have blankets. We had to have things in our vehicles at all times, because we never knew when we needed to escape a possible dangerous situation. I contacted the missions office and was like, guys, do we need to get on closer, you know, back home for a little while back in America until things calms down? The missions office, they talked to their security expert, a friend of mine, David Doze, he's a good guy, but I don't put my stock in just a man, you know, I only put my stock in God. And so he came back with, well, we're not in immediate danger. And my attitude was, well, it's easy for you to say that in America, but why don't you come here in Romania on the border where we are and then say we're not in immediate danger. So I had to pray about that one. And we prayed. We did. We prayed. We got counsel from different pastors, and we decided that we was going to stay, and we was going to continue to work. And so that's what we did. So as we was planning Return Church, our second church plant in Romania, we started working with Ukrainian refugees. That was a third ministry. And so we started working with Ukraine. A lot of times they would come across the border, and we had a camp that was 10 minutes from our house, and we would host them there and have them there. I became the camp chapel. My wife would come. We would be there every day praying for these moms, praying for the kids. oftentimes we would just listen to them. We would just cry with them. Can you imagine being a mom and having kids and having to leave your husband behind, having to leave your parents behind, and having to go to a country that you don't know the culture, you don't know the language, you know, the food is different, everything is different in a time of war, so the time of stress is at its peak, and then trying to have to figure out life. And this is what these people was doing. One night, me and my son, we drove to the border, and we spent a night in our van to be able to pick up a load of refugees. And I remember it was winter. It was very cold. Me and my son about froze to death that night. But about 4 o'clock in the morning, we heard little knocks on our window, and they arrived. Moms and children walked 3 to 4 hours on by foot through a creek, over some through the woods, to the border to cross into Romania for shelter. And so we loaded them up in our van, and we was able to drive them to that camp. And we worked at this camp for over 3 months. Every day, again, we was there, and we built relationships, and we still have those relationships today. Matter of fact, as soon as we have a ceasefire, and we're praying for that soon, we will be back in Ukraine and working with and visiting with the people that we've met there. So continue to pray for that ministry. Continue to pray for Return Church. After over a year and a half, we was to the area where it was going pretty good, where Christian could continue to pastor the church there. And at that time, it was time for us to exit and work on our next church plant. So we moved back 6 hours west on the border of Hungary, where we started planting the church, Agape Church. Agape was a church in Oradea. Oradea is a pretty large city, one of the most beautiful cities in Romania. And so we started this church plant, and I'll be honest that we've had a lot of church plants so far up to that point, and all of them was kind of slow starting. Well, our first Sunday service there at Agape, we had packed out. Everyone showed up. We had hardly had any seats. You can see the church building there, the little room that we had. There was hardly any seats left. And so we was blessed there. We started seeing God move. We had had 10 baptisms the first year at Agape. We started doing vacation Bible school and children's ministry. Every time we would do a vacation Bible school, we would have over 100 children that would come and attend. And so that was a blessing for us. It was kind of a time of excitement. And we continued with Agape over a year there, a year and some months, until we took it as far as we could take it. And now Daniel Bogosi is still there, pastoring at Agape. And so now we could transition to our next church plant. And that is a church plant that we're currently praying about. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. If you go to the next slide, I want to talk briefly about Romania to Africa. And you say, well, hey, wait a second, Brother Brian, I thought you was a missionary to Romania. Well, we are. But God has done some amazing things through Romania. One of my dreams has been to get Romanians involved in international missions, not just become a receiving nation, but a sending nation. We want to send Romanian missionaries across the world. And so we've been praying about that, and we had an opportunity to go to Zambia last year. So I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you're familiar with Michael and Sharon Quillman. They're good friends of mine. And so we took Marius and his wife Adina, along with me and Pam and Kendra and our kids, and we went to Zambia last year and worked on the mission field there to see some areas that we could help, Romanians could help. And so we did that. It had a fantastic trip. This year, we're going back in July. We're taking over 10 Romanians with us. And this is a huge deal. One of the things with the tribe that we're working with there, the Tonga tribe, is they're starving. A lot of the kids are starving to death. They only have a little bit of shima that they're eating. They're not getting a lot of protein. Well, one thing that Romanians are good at is food preservation. Keep in mind, Romania was under communism until December 22nd, 1989, when they drugged the dictator Ceausescu and his wife out into the street, and it was death by firing squad. The military shot them to death in the street of Romania. We have friends there. I have friends that would tell me that she remembers them throwing confetti out the window and everybody excited and celebrating. And she said, "Mom, what does this mean? What's happening?" And her mom said, "Well, this." To a little girl, she explained it this way. She says, "Let's just put it that anytime you want oranges, you can have them now." Because fruit was very hard to come by during communism, right? So they had to learn how to preserve, and they learned had to learn how to do these things. Well, so they're very good at preserving. So we're going to go there this July. We're going to build cold smokers. We're going to teach them how to cure meat, cold smoke meat, hang it in a cool area that can last for 5 or 6 months. And then they can cut pieces of meat off as they need. This will give them the protein that they need to go with their shema. Now, this is a huge deal. If we can teach them how to do this food preservation, then they can teach the other areas and other village, and we can change a lot of lives. We can save a lot of lives by doing this. And the Romanians wants to go and teach them how to do this and teach them how to pickle. And so I'm really excited for this opportunity. So you guys continue to pray for Romania, our ministry, as we go to Zambia in June to do this. So we're excited about that. If you go to the next slide, this is our Operation Christmas. So every year we like to do some things for Christmas to our two gypsy communities. Usually we buy a jacket, we'll have a toy for the boy and girl, we'll have food bags. And then the next year we'll do shoes, and then we'll have a toy and then food bags. Each year we usually have people to donate money to do this, to help us with this. And the last several years we've had one family to cover all expenses, and which has been a huge blessing for our ministry. This last Christmas they did extra beyond what they usually do, and we had enough money that we bought jackets, shoes, food bags, a toy for the boy, toy for the girl, and each family is going to get Bibles. And so we're so excited. We had a great time. Here are some pictures there of the Operation Christmas this past Christmas. The little grandma that you see there in the green dress with the head covering, she was one of our most vocal grandmas, a gypsy grandma. They call them Bunikas. Bunikas is grandmother, means grandmother. And she was one of the most vocal we had in the village. She was tough. This lady, she would fight you if she didn't like you. She was a tough lady, but she had a big heart. She was one of the first ones to invite us to her home when we started having church there. Had a little bit of juice that she poured in her little cups that she had stored up above her stove that was only for special occasions. She didn't have much to her name, but she wanted to make sure that we had some juice with her. Well, anyways, since we've been back here in America, she has recently passed away. And so pray for her family, and I'm praying for her salvation. I talked a lot to her. We shared the gospel a lot to her, but I don't know for sure if she's ever accepted Christ. So pray for that family. If you go to the next slide, here's our backyard Bible study. One of the things that Romania has is a lot of like churches, a lot of Orthodox churches, but nobody has a lot of youth groups. There's not a lot of student ministry there in Romania. And so, hey, that runs in my blood. I think once a student pastor, it's always going to be there. And so we started to do something kind of neat. We just started inviting our teenagers in our village to our house. We would go in our backyard, we would light a fire, and we would do a Bible study. And they started loving it, so they started coming over often. So we call it our backyard Bible study. And I took them camping for the first time last year. Most of them are afraid because of the wolves and the bears, but they had a great time. We have a weekly Bible study with them, and then they also help us with things like our Operation Christmas. So continue to pray for our teenagers as we minister them in Romania. This is Biserica Credenza. It's Faith Church. It's in Teschia. Teschia was a church that Larry Barker planted over 25 years ago. The church has since then lost its pastor about 6 years ago, and the church had went down from a pretty good crowd to three ladies in the whole church. Only three of the main ladies would show up every Sunday, and they would pray that God would send a pastor. The church was about to close its doors, and so I would go and I would preach some to them, and me and my translator, Mari Yus, the one that was helping with the gypsy ministry, he would come and help. And so I started working with him and talking to him and asked him if he would pray about maybe helping there more. And he did. And him and his wife, Adina, that you see in the picture. So it's Marius, Adina, their two sons, Yonis and Phineas. After praying, Marius decided that he wanted to step in as pastor at Teschia. So we're kind of helping him with a church replant. We did some training with him, some church planting training, teaching him, getting him a vision and a mission. And so he has, of course, the Holy Spirit has done it, but through Marius, they have increased the attendance there. And so you can see the picture there. And it's just so amazing to see Faith Church growing. And so we're so excited. That's not a new church plant, but it's a replant, and it was needed. And we're having to be careful not to focus on church health, because there's a lot of churches that needs help. But this one was dear to our hearts, so God bless. If you go to the next slide here, this church is Carmel Baptist Church in Jerish. This is Adi Toma and his wife Adriana and their two daughters, Sarah and Yunya. And Adi is one of our change makers, and he is a great man. He's a great man of God. He has helped us in our ministry. He helped me with Agape Church, and he's helping us with our next church plant. He has a lot of knowledge, especially with the Romanian culture, and especially in a small village that we're going to plant our next church in. So he's partnering with us and helping us and assisting us there. If you go to the next slide. This is going to be our next church plant. It's in a village called Tarion Church. It's literally only a river separating us from Hungary there. The population are Romanians, Gypsies, and Hungarians. There is zero Baptist church in this village, and there's one Orthodox and one Catholic church, because Hungarians are Catholics, Romanians are predominantly Orthodox. And so we have a big work ahead of us, because the priests do not like us. We're considered a cult. We cut into their pocketbook, because we pray for people. We go to their homes and we visit with them and pray with them, and we don't charge them money. Although that's where the priest gets their money. And so they don't like us being in there. So far, we haven't had any opposition, but continue to pray. Pam and Kendra and I, we met with the mayor of Tarion before we came on furlough, and we shared our plan of starting an English club there in Tarion, and then that would transition to having a weekly Bible study that would then go into building relationships and planting a church. He liked the idea so much that he's offering the culture hall. It's a building that they do weddings at. He's offering it to us once a week for free. He's not going to charge us. So we'll have a place to meet. And my man of peace, the guy that will be pastor there once we get the church planted, is Janutz, and his wife is Christina there, and their three kids. And so he will be the one that we will disciple and work with. And once the church gets to a certain point, we'll transition out, and he will continue to be pastor. So this is a brand new church plant that the ground hasn't even been broken yet. Well, in a way. We just started having our English club last week. Kendra led the first meetings, and it's going well. So we have good reports of that. So continue to pray for that and for that ministry. All right, if you go to the next slide. Just want to share with you guys a message this morning that God has put on my heart for this furlough. It's a season that has been hard. Hey, we have been through a tough season lately. And as I prayed about what God would want me to preach on, it dawned on me that obviously we're not the only ones that have been through it. Some of you have been through it as well this past season, or maybe currently that you're going through a tough time. Some of you have struggled. Some of you had some hard knocks in life. So as I was preparing the message, I realized that this is a message that we all can grow from, that we all can learn from. And so the title of the message is fitting, not only for me, but for some of you as well, and that is, how much longer? So I want to learn a little bit about lamenting. Y'all know a little bit about lamenting? What is lamenting? Some of you might ask this, to express passionate grief about something. It's a prayer that doesn't seem so pretty. You know, one thing that Romanians are very good at is praying beautiful prayers. And there's nothing wrong with beautiful prayers. Matter of fact, every Sunday, the whole church will stand up and they recite the Lord's Prayer. It's beautiful. Matter of fact, in their Romanian language, it just sounds so elegant and it's so nice. But sometimes in life, we don't just get down and fold our hands and say a beautiful prayer. Sometimes we just call out to God could be frustration, could be anger, could be a fear. But we just call out to God and just talk to Him. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. And one person in the Bible that done this quite often, that lamented quite often in the Bible, was David. King David did this quite a bit. And I want to look in Psalm 69. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 69. We're going to read the first three verses. But here is a situation where David, he felt like he needed to be rescued. He felt like overwhelmed with emotions. And he calls out to God and he says this. He says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I seek in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood waters sweep over me. I am weary with crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." Hey, that's a pretty tough prayer. David literally felt like he was drinking. He was sinking in this swamp, this water, and there was not a foothold he could get out of. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like the world was so overwhelming that there's some problems and little alligators that was happening in your life so much that you felt like you was drowning and there was no way out? That every time you would put your foot on a ledge, it would just slip back off? That you would go back under the water? That you would get water in your mouth? That you was just yelling for help, but no one was there? I don't know if you've ever been there before, and I pray that you don't experience it, but unfortunately, most of us will at some point in our life. Most of us would experience this feeling, and David was no stranger to that. It really struck a chord in my own heart. It really struck a chord in my life, and I asked the reason why, and it's because I was asking the same question this last season, the last year. I've asked God the same question. There have been times where I felt like I was drowning. Now, hey, look, I'm the missionary. Hey, we're in Romania. Things should be perfect. There shouldn't be any problems. I mean, there should be angels singing and butterflies going around, and we're seeing salvations, and we're high-fiving people, and it's all love and kumbaya, and everything's great, right? But that's not true. I know this church is perfect, right? No problems, no issues. Right? No, that's silly. Every church has problems. I think as long as people are involved, we're going to have problems because we're not perfect, right? And so this last year has been tough. We just recently went through a season called Empty Nest. A lot of you have been through that season. We've just now experienced it. Hey, when our kids, we were so excited to have three kids the same age, and I really thought it was going to be like a Band-Aid that you rip off. Hey, rip the Band-Aid off, all three of them go to college at the same time. We're going to be a little sad, but then, woohoo, honeymoon season is back in town, and, you know, everything's happy. Me and my wife's going to go and travel and have a good time. And then I realized how quiet the house was. And I would walk to the bathroom and I would see the kids' bedroom doors open and they wasn't in their beds. They wasn't in their rooms on their phone. They wasn't barging in the front door and telling me about their day. Now, it wasn't like they was in the next village over. It wasn't like they was in the next city over or the next country in Europe. They was literally in another continent. They was 5,500 miles away and that was tough. The empty nest was tough. We're still going through it and getting over it. Some of you already been through that. Some of you might be going through it in later in life. We had issues with our last church plant. We had to deal with some things that was very stressful. Watching our children make some bad mistakes. Hey, I don't know about you, but parents, it's hard watching your kids make the same mistakes you made when you was their age, and you want the best for them, and you don't want them to hurt, and you don't want them to have the consequences that you know is coming from them decisions. And watching them go from being under our protection to college on their own with parents out of the country, and watching them make some bad choices has broke our hearts, and we have struggled with watching this. Spiritual warfare. There's a reason why Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God, because when Satan shows up and he fires his arrows, we have to be able to protect ourselves. We have to be able to have the right gear on. But unfortunately, the American church today can't even defend themselves with a toothpick because that's all they have, because they're not devoted and they're not disciplined enough. And I don't care how strong you are in your faith, when you get hit by an arrow, but it still hurts, it still knocks you back. Aged parents, watching my father decline in his health, watching the things that he once been able to do, like mowing his yard and doing things, even like walking, is hard for him now. And watching that they're just so hard on us. And sometimes I ask the question, how long, God? How much longer are we going to, are we going to be in Romania? We don't know. But it's a question that I asked, and David asked similar questions. Look in Psalms 13. We're going to read the first six verses in Psalm 13. David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, O God, my Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I so sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. I started asking the question, how long, oh God, how long are you going to... going to allow this feelings, the emotions, the depression, the fear, all the things that we was dealing with. How long, oh Lord, are you going to keep us in this area, in this spot in life? And this is what I learned through the scripture there in Psalm 13, and I think you can pick it up as two. It's simple. It's a simple message. It's three points, but they're vital. The first point is that we have to keep praying. I don't care what kind of prayer it is, but we just need to call out to God. We have to give it to God. He's the only one that can rescue you from your problems. Not that you're going to have a perfect life, but he can be there. He can offer the comfort through the Holy Spirit. We have to keep praying, communicating to God through it all. When we focus on God and take our minds off of the problems, there's something that switches and it helps. Number two, we have to keep trusting in God. Hey, listen to me this morning. Every one of us at each different age will put our trust in all the different things besides God. We put our trust in friendships that will fail us. We put our trust in addictions like medications, prescription medications or alcohol or drugs or sex or all the things. We put our trust in all the things that will fail us and let us down, and we don't turn to God. But I'm here this morning to tell you that we have to put our trust in God, because he's the only way, he's the only one that can help us. Number three is we have to keep rejoicing. Hey, we have to keep praising God, singing praises to him. Music has power. When I was a teenager and I would get into it with a boy at school, oh, we're going to fight next week at the bus stop or behind the gym or wherever. I'll go home. I'll turn on the little Eye of the Tiger. I'm rising up on the street. I'm doing Rocky push-ups. I'm ready to take this guy on because music can motivate me to do that. Or maybe I have a breakup with my girlfriend. And oh, I'm so sad. My heart hurts. So I turn on a Poor Me song. Or maybe I'm angry, so I listen to a little, angry breakup song, and all of a sudden I wanna run my key down the side of her little little Carrie Underwood this morning. Hey, music has power behind it. And I'm telling you this morning that if we will focus on the right type of praise, if we will draw our attention to God and praises to him, it changes our perspective, it changes our life, it changes our mindset. It's very important. Maybe you've been struggling this morning. Maybe you've been going through a hard time lately. Maybe you're struggling with your family. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're struggling in your job or at your school. Maybe you're struggling with your faith. Maybe you've been asking the question lately, how much longer, oh God? I'm here to tell you this morning in closing, I'm here to tell you that you have to keep praying. You have to keep trusting and you have to keep rejoicing in God. It's so important that we grasp that. I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves you, that He wants a relationship with you. He created you to have a relationship with Him, but unfortunately, our sins keep us from God. So you might be asking the question this morning, how much longer, oh God? But unfortunately, you don't even know the God you're asking the question to because you never gave Him your life. You never repented of your sins. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves you. He created you to have a relationship with Him, but your sins keep you from God. And sins cannot be removed by doing nothing good. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. Listen to me today. You can go to church every time these doors are open. You can memorize scriptures. You can do all the right things. You can recite prayers. You can go to Walmart and carry groceries from the grandma and go straight to hell because you can't get to heaven on works. It's only through faith. And hear me this morning. The good news is that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin. He died for you. He did the work. All you have to do is put your trust in Jesus. Anyone, everyone this morning that would put their trust in Jesus alone can have salvation. I'm here to tell you, life can start right now. It can last for eternity. You can have a place in heaven. More importantly, you can have a relationship with the one true King, the one that can help us, the one that can rescue us from the flames that we're heading to. Does that message make sense this morning? If you never gave your life to Jesus, if you never repented of your sins, if you never become a Christian, a follower of Christ, and the message made sense this morning, my question to you is, what's stopping you from giving your life to Jesus right now this morning? And we need to do business with God. Maybe you're already a Christian, a follower of Christ, have been for a long time, but you're going through a tough season. You just need to come and you just need to keep putting your trust in God. You need to keep praying. You need to keep trusting in Him and praising Him. Maybe you needed that reminder this morning. But maybe you need to give your life to Jesus so then you can start doing the three steps. Wherever you are on your journey, wherever you are in life, I'm here to tell you that the greatest decision you can ever make is serving Jesus. I'm not here to coerce you into conversion. I just want to paint a picture that you can accept or reject this morning. And the picture is this. Jesus is there with His arms open wide. And it's up to us to make a move, no matter where we're at in our spiritual walk in this life. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just want to thank You for this the opportunity to share this message. And Father, I just know that I'm not the only one that struggled this last year. That there's people in this church that have even had a harder time, even bigger obstacles than that we ever experienced before. And Father, I pray for them and I pray that they can remember to call out to You, to keep praying, keep trusting, keep praising You, Father. And Father, if there's anyone in this room, in this building today, that doesn't know You, I just pray that You'll make them so miserable that they can't wait to just call out to Your name for salvation. God, we love You. We thank You. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.